something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
we play a brand new game called Microphonies.
We play a game called Canteen about Canadian celebrity teenagers.
And we announce our latest contest in desperate attempt to give away some TNT swag. That's all coming up right now on TNT.
67.
67. Expos 67.
Oh, that's right.
Remember? No, wait a minute. Was it Expo 76?
Now you really threw me, but
it was
Expo 67.
Was it?
Yeah. Legit.
Is it worth a Google? Am I thinking Expo 76 was in Montreal, but Expo 67, was that Vancouver? What?
Vancouver? Well, Expo.
Yeah, it was in Montreal, Expo 67.
Yeah, Expo 86 was Vancouver.
Oh my God.
Remember Expo 86? I remember all the kids going away for it, all the loaded kids in the class.
I remember too, yeah.
We're leaving for the Expo 86.
I didn't get to go to Expo 86.
No way. It was Vancouver? No way.
Yeah.
No chance.
Not many kids from the Maritimes went to Expo 86, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But we were alive for that one at least.
Yeah.
I think a lot of folks from the Maritimes went to Expo 67 from the Maritimes to Montreal, because that's, well, I suppose in those days it was probably a 20-hour drive.
So be like the guy announcing in 69 Jerry Park Stadium, the Expos, like the first one.
Jerry Park Stadium?
Yeah, before the Big O in 77.
Whoa. Oh, wait a minute. They built the Big O for Expo 76, didn't they?
I guess.
Is anyone still listening to this?
Yeah, exactly. Episode? We're still talking about this. I was just
Expo
talking
76.
About the Expos. Just talking about the Expos.
Team Calling one. Expo 76 a cover band is technically correct, but they're a cover band unlike any other out there. Expo 76 is a pop rock band. Expo 67.
Yeah, but was, we're, don't confuse the 76 Olympics with Expo 67. That's the only. That's what's
the Olympics problem. Were in 76.
Yes.
Okay, therein lies the confusion.
See, that's where, because I'm in the land of confusion.
Remember when Genesis did the video with who were the puppet people? Spitting Image.
Yeah.
And these are the games we're given. Oh.
That was such a huge video back in the day, and that was just puppets.
Yeah.
I guess thinking of the Phil Collins puppet with the big classic Schnoz. British mouth.
Oh yeah. Oh, big teeth. Get it, British. Stereotypes. So sorry, what does the video celebrate? Stereotypes. Right. We thought we'd made some puppets to celebrate the stereotypes and big teeth and what have you.
Margaret Thatcher eating sausage breakfast.
You see. We thought we'd celebrate the stereotypes, you see. So to recap, Expo 67 was in Montreal, but the 76 Summer Olympics were in Montreal, too.
Yes, that's why.
And that's where the Big O was built.
Yes.
And it was called the Big O-O-W-E because it cost so much and it wasn't really worth it.
Yes.
Although, maybe that was just in the 80s because it was a great home for the Expos, right?
Yeah, well, it was a real greasy space, man. Did you ever go to an Expos game? I never went to an Expos game, but I would watch them all the time growing up. And just that place looked like just some weird, it's a flea market, and then they have baseball. World's biggest flea market. Big boxy dome.
I kind of liked, it was probably my first baseball game. I probably saw an Expos game there before I saw a Jays game. So it was kind of a thrill, because I think, if memory serves, I think it's near La Ronde, which is the outdoor...
Yes.
Parc d'amusement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever play at the Big O?
No. No, never played the Big O, but what a building. What a
classic. Did you play at the Bell Center?
Yes, many times.
I bet you sold that sucker out.
Yeah, sold that one out. Good times.
Expo 76 is a cover band, and it's actually a great dovetail into a game that I want to play.
There's a cover band called Expo 76?
Well, if you believe what you read on Wikipedia, it says to call them a cover band is not really fair, even though technically that's what they are. But I was thinking it would be funny for me to give you actual names of actual cover bands, some real, some fake, and you have to guess if it's an actual cover band or if it's one I made up.
That's great. What do we call the game? What should we call this?
Great or fake?
Microphone-y? Microphone-y. Done.
Okay, so is microphone is real, microphone-y
is
fake.
Okay.
So the game's called Microphonies.
Microphonies.
I guess they're phonies anyway because they're cover bands.
For sure.
Okay, you ready?
Let's do it.
Is there an REM cover band called Are We Them?
This is a funny story. I tried to be in a REM cover band when I was a kid.
What were you called?
One of my first, I don't remember. We never had a name because we couldn't book a gig.
Aww. And you just did REM?
I remember I was like, I was really young at 15, 16, and trying to get like a gig in a bar. And I almost joined this older cover band.
Were they an REM cover band too, or just whatever's going?
They did like all the classics, like Whiter Shade of Pale and like the classic rock stuff. There were older dudes, and I was fine playing that stuff. But one time I asked the guy, he's like, hey, could you play keyboards in this REM cover band?
And he was like, no. Listen,
the next time I called, his daughter answered the phone.
You heard his voice in the background, but he wasn't available to come to the phone.
Heard him say he's in the shower. And then no, but this isn't that he didn't hear me say that.
Maybe the best part is
he wanted to further it, right? Like, no, tell him I'm on tour in Alberta.
And the shower wasn't enough because he didn't want you to call back. He wheels his dad and you out. That's the worst.
He's like, tell him like I'm gone. Like, there's no way I'm coming back.
REM isn't exactly known for its drumming.
He was so not into it that he wanted nothing to do with me at all ever again.
It went beyond not liking REM, and he just didn't want you in his universe.
Yes, yes. Oh, wow.
So the band never got off the ground. That's me in the corner. Never would have been a good name for an REM cover band.
Ended up playing like busking and like on the street and in subways. That was it.
That's me in the corner. There's a guy who likes his vibrato.
The guy loved it. That was the only voice he could really do.
I think there should be on Sesame Street a sheep Michael Stipe. That's me in the spotlight, losing my religion.
They were massive.
And just I loved REM. Apparently one of Michael Stipe's big problems is that he can never remember his own lyrics, even when they're in the studio and they're right in front of him.
Weird. So yeah. He's always reading them?
Yeah, if you read, if you listen to Come Try to Wake Her Up, whatever song that is on whatever album that is, he says reading from Dr. Seuss, and he laughs because he got it right after saying Dr. Zeus like 100 takes in a row.
I remember a cover band called Runs in Your Hoses, and they were a Guns N' Roses tribute.
Was that a real one?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Runs it's close. In Your Hoses. The thing is, it has to be perfect. So is there an REM cover band called Are We Them?
Sure, yes.
Yes, that's correct.
Perfect.
Is there an ABBA cover act called Still Bjorn?
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely.
Is there an all-female AC/DC cover act called AC/DC?
I'm pretty sure there is, yes.
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 Is there a Counting Crows cover act called Counting Cornrows?
No chance.
Oh, I'm no so way. Proud of it.
Oh, it's great.
Counting Cornrows.
He came on the scene with that big fucking pineapple head.
Thing. With the big Chris Kirkpatrick from whatever well, that was.
Well, he was the original, like, The Weeknd with that hairdo.
Oh, my God. Counting Cornrows is awesome. Is there a cover act called Non Jovi?
Yeah, that's too close for sure.
Correct. Earth, Wind for Hire.
Oh, come on. No way. Yes.
Yes.
I want there to be. Yes.
Fleetwood Mock.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Is there a cover, a Poison cover act called Posen?
No way.
Yes, there is.
No, there is. Posen?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And they're doing the face.
Is there an Oasis cover act called Oasis Isn't?
No way.
Yes, there is.
That's awful.
It's Oasis actually great.
Where did you go? Like, a agency?
No, I just Googled. Is there a cover act called Nirvana?
Yes.
Yes. That's... Is there a cover act called Mandonna?
No way.
Yes, there is.
Mandonna.
I would feel mildly uncomfortable watching Mandonna do like a virgin.
Okay, hold on. Let me... Mandonna, you can't. Can you do that at the chicken deli on a Friday night? Are people ready for that kind of a party?
Is there a Nickelback cover act called Poor Man Stealing?
Poor Man Stealing. I don't know. I'm going to look. I'm looking up Mandonna for sure.
That's it. I lost you at Mandonna.
I want to see some YouTubes.
I made up Poor Man Stealing. But Mandonna is allegedly real. I'm that sure is... Mandonna. It's like Man Murray or Man of Green Gables. I'm
I
sure.
Know, but Man Murray is not real. Man Murray, imagine his big
look.
Beard.
It's all.
He's got a big hairy face, and he's like just busts into one of her jams.
All male Madonna cover band. Mandonna. It's amazing.
No way.
Yeah. There might be a... Oh, there is. Here's their cover of Like a Prayer.
No.
Yeah.
Life is a mystery. Everyone must
what
stand alone. I hear you call my name. And it feels like hope.
Really?
I'm going to tell you something. Mandonna's good.
But it's just like it turns it into like rock and roll opera.
Yeah, it's like Glee.
Yeah.
This is a clip of Mandonna on Fox, so they're not nobody.
Wow. What is it, a bunch of people or just one guy?
Well, it's a bunch of folks. It's dudes, and they all look like Madonna from different eras. Like, one guy's got the pointy cone bra.
Oh, man.
And another dude's got the wedding dress.
But they're like a metal band that does
I guess
Madonna jams.
I guess. It's a good test to see if it's a good tune.
Probably that's the same band that's posing every other week.
Posing.
Yeah.
Every rose has its thorn. It's almost worth us starting a Counting Crows cover band call it Counting Cornrows. Oh my God, that would be great.
Alien size rock songs. That's what we say.
That's
alien
what it says on the business card.
Alien size sets.
Wheels' dad is our agent.
Yeah.
Tonight's our gig in Halifax, by the way.
Oh.
And we're doing a version of Eternal Flame by the Bangles.
Wow.
And it's actually a great way to find out if a song is good, to kind of look at it through a different lens. Mm-hmm. I actually really like that song, as you know, Down at His Gourd.
Yeah, well, for sure. And then just, I gotta say, the Blind Melon, that still cracks me up from last week.
It's not sin. Let's take a break on TNT. We have another game coming, which is called Canteen. I'm going to play you clips from Canadian teenagers, and you have to guess who it is. Canteen coming up as episode 67 rolls along. Don't go away.
Where's my beer chair?
67. What a year.
It's been a long December, and I have reason to believe maybe this year could be better than the last.
That's
the He has a vibrato, too, that he likes.
That's actually the Counting Cornrows.
Better than the last.
You know, like when a band comes to town and they put the songs together of them covering the band? Like, great Beatles cover band. And then it shows, like, they'll play three or four clips of them doing songs.
Yeah. In Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs. I want to hold your hand. Who's the best Beatles cover act? There is...
There's tons of Beatles jammers go and play. Make millions. Millions! 1967 jams?
Who is it?
The Who. I Can See for Miles.
Who? Is it?
Yeah. Who? Who? I saw a picture of a player named H.U. Who, and he's on first. Who's on
no.
first?
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love puns.
It finally happened. Costello wins one.
Oh my God, I love puns.
Oh, that's the billions guy again. I love money.
Oh my God. Can you smell that money? Put it right under your nose. There must be a Who cover band.
Yeah, the Who are the Hooligans, they're called.
The Hooligans?
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah, the Hooligans, you're right.
Yeah. I've seen them.
Is this 67?
Yeah. Feels like we're working at a candy shop.
Man, this
Otis
song
Redding
makes
jam.
My face involuntarily spasm. That's into right. like a, yeah. Like, it hurts so good.
It does hurt so good.
A little respect when you come home. That was 67. I would have said that was earlier than that.
But this is like when you're working in your shop and you got all these jams going on. You imagine, like, the radio, the hits of the day being this kind of stuff? Like Jackie Wilson just bumping through.
Couldn't punch the smile off my face when this song's on. This is like little kid running home to tell his parents that the girl in class said yes, she'd go to the sock hop with him.
Stealing candy. He's stealing candy, listening to songs. This is another good 67 jam.
Was that 67?
Yeah.
It's stealing candies. It's taking the sweets. Too many sweets.
We would like to put a stop to the stereotypes. It's not true that all of our teeth are too big for our mouths, you see.
Do you have a lozenge? I'd love a lozenge.
Do you happen to have a toothpick I could borrow? I have an entire 8-ounce steak trapped between my front teeth, you see.
I'll have the steak tips.
Man, that's a great song.
You don't like this marmalade? You don't know what you're missing.
How about jealous British guy when the Beatles came out? He's like, they're all right.
They're all right. They're fine. I wouldn't go to see them live, but I guess it's all right. Put on the hi-fi.
I don't understand why anyone would want to go stand around in that terrible racket. All the screaming from the girls.
Bashing, smashing it with the long hair, please.
It's hardly civilized, I should say.
Who's that guy?
It's hardly civilized, I should say.
Imagine if they were dashing. Saying that. I don't see their personal charm myself.
Filling teenage girls' heads with terrible thoughts.
Really?
For some reason he has like half his lungs full of air left at the end of the sentence. Terrible, if you ask me, I should say.
And all dark smoke coming out.
Yeah.
When he's talking.
Would you like a girl walls?
They'd have a dart in their mouth while they're eating eggs in the morning.
Beatlemania is the most famous Beatles cover band, right?
Egg, beans, and toast, love.
How about this comment?
Cuckoo could childish, if you ask me.
Cuckoo could childish.
Beatlemania is the biggest Beatles act. That 67 for Penny Lane, huh?
Yeah. But it's not. It doesn't stop. Because then the Stones had Ruby Tuesday.
Oh.
So that's the song year. That
spawned an entire chain of restaurants.
You don't have to be so soppy, you know. We can write some hits and shag all the girls and just who cares?
I don't understand why his trousers must be so small. He's like a spider in trousers.
What's with the getup and the lips?
I simply don't understand why he must wear mascara.
These are just a bore.
I wish they would gather moss and disappear.
That's the weakest Rolling Stones diss ever.
They're all on drugs. Clearly, they're all on drugs.
I don't understand why it has to be so uncivilized, is the thing you say.
And then Buffalo Springfield's a good jam for that same year. A little Crosby.
Man.
Stephen Stills with Neil Young. Pounding it.
That's a great song.
Yeah. Not so bad, eh? A year working in the candy shop.
Just let this ride for a minute.
How many times has this been used in a soundtrack?
It's great. I would be interested in Jeremy Taggart's, like, walk through the history of music. That would be really an interesting TV show. It's, like, it's PBS for sure, but I would watch it.
This is the same equivalent of, like, remember because how banged up everybody thought Jim Morrison was?
And he wasn't?
Well, he was. I'm just saying the same equivalent of, like, the British looking down upon the young Brits. As opposed to the Americans going, the hell's this? Who the hell is this kid getting all drunk on the TV talking about sex?
Well, what year was Austin Powers set?
What's
was
that?
Was that like 67?
Yeah, definitely.
That was that era, right?
Austin Powers, yeah.
Man. That would have been a fun time to live in London.
Remember the guy in the cover band, he was jamming this always. The guy who said he's in the shower, but then Alberta.
Oh, yeah.
I saw him doing this one with the big, huge organ. He loved this jam.
Yeah, he did.
But it's an unbelievable year.
I have Annie Lennox's version of this. It might come as no surprise. This is the thing. Being in a cover band is like karaoke in that it's the wrestling match between the song you want to do and the song the people want to hear.
Yeah.
You have to do good old-fashioned rump shakers, or every song has to be a, oh my God, remember? I think, if you're going to pull it off. Because I don't think anybody wants to see this perform, do they?
This is your whole 67 wrapped up in a nutshell, bud. Music was just bursting. Can't believe them. Even the shit music was great back then. The Monkees.
I'm trying to remember. I saw her face, right. Is that, that's a Monkees.
Yeah.
And I'm a believer. So could they play?
Well, it was all session players. It was all Wrecking Crew.
Really?
Guys.
So they just did the vocals.
Yeah, I think that's like Hal Blaine's and the Jim Gordons and all the, you know, the all the Wrecking Crew. It's the best in the biz.
Carol so they K. were the first boy. Were they the first boy band?
Well, they were the first TV band. In a sense, and it was based right. on because of the popularity of the Beatles, it was out of control. So they started to it was so big that the Americans put a TV show together. They were actors first that were cast, and you know they even like auditioned a bunch of people, different artists, and came up with those guys. And the show was
the
pretty funny.
Archies. Released Sugar Sugar, that was 69, and they have the distinction of being the first not real band to reach number one.
Not real band?
Yeah, they weren't a real band. They were session guys too, but session guys for a cartoon, which is even weirder.
Yeah, well, the association apparently was that too. They were kind of like, they had a run of hits, but it was always just the Wrecking Crew playing everything.
I don't know that band.
They were massive.
What like, is an association
song? Everyone
knows that
it's windy.
What? I don't know that song.
Here, let me give you a quick rip of the association.
Rip me some association real quick, will you, bud?
Yeah, let me get you some association. Maybe you can do the opening of the Expo Stadium in 1969.
What was the name of the stadium?
I think it was Frank Stadium first.
Frank?
Yeah, Frank. What was it?
You said Frank something.
Jerry Park, totally way off. Jerry Park Stadium. Oh Jerry God. Park.
Mesdames et messieurs, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, bon après-midi, et bienvenue à Jerry Park Park. It's a beautiful day for baseball. On va jouer cet après-midi votre Expo de Montréal.
Could you believe how much he came aboard John Gibbons?
Yeah.
They really do that.
This song is, I think this is 67 too. It was. It's Jim Gordon on drums. You know this one.
I have to hear the chorus.
Never My Love doesn't ring a bell.
No, but I love it.
Oh, it's classic, easy.
That's
listening.
The association.
Yeah.
We'll save the Expos thing for episode 69 because it was 1969, I guess they started, was it?
Yeah, for sure.
Numero 14 is number 14, Roy Facism. Roy Face. 5'8", 155 pounds. He's my new favorite all-time baseball player.
Not Angel Salazar?
No, Roy Face.
What about...
Face is the new Salazar.
Hey, people love Gary...
Gugatomy?
They love the golfer, Greg Gary Gugotomy.
You gotta be kidding me. Look at this guy.
You gotta be again to 3 feet.
Are you kidding me? This is great.
Gugotomy, he's 270 yards out. He has three wood. There's no way he's going to get to this green.
Oh, my gosh.
Gugotomy's kidding me.
The look on Jordan Spieth's face.
Oh, man, the poor kid.
As Willett's putting on the jacket.
Yeah.
I mean, the poor kid who made millions of dollars and won it last year, right?
Yeah, he's still 22. But still. And it like totally came out that he's 22. I said he went grade 9 on the whole Butler Cabin experience.
Why did people not know he was 22?
Oh, everyone knows. He usually acts like he's 40, the way he talks right in the press and everything. He's very composed and seems happy and nice, but he was pissed.
Yeah.
He was really
as you would be.
But he couldn't get it past it. He was just like, no. I don't want to be here, and I don't know why they're forcing me to be here kind of thing.
Yeah.
When it's like...
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Being gracious in defeat.
Yeah.
All those greats have it.
I figured that he would be okay, but that was the worst jacket ceremony. I don't think I've ever seen that before where the guy's actually like really surly. Angry. Even Faldo was all smiles putting it on.
Is Faldo notoriously ornery?
Well, he was always a tough guy and kind of angry when he lost. But, I mean, I've never seen that where it's like putting on the jacket. And, I mean, Bernard Langer, when he puts on the jacket to Jack Nicklaus in 1986.
Yeah.
When he won his sixth. Like, he's crying, I think, when he's putting it on.
Longer was in the hunt this weekend.
He was in the hunt, yeah. He was two shots.
He had a great Saturday, right?
He had a great whole week. He was just grinded it out. But he's
58 years old.
Guy, 58.
Suddenly 58's not that old.
But let's not forget Danny Willett shot 67 with no bogeys on a Sunday at a major.
And unbelievable.
I think probably everybody was thinking 4 or 5 under would have a chance, so he probably had that in mind, and he nailed what he was trying to do. So I wouldn't say it was Spieth's gift as much as he just ground it out, and it was difficult to play under par on the weekend there. Everybody was falling apart.
And the wind was bad. I mean, you also have to assume that there's a certain freedom that comes from being Willett and knowing no one expects it in the world. So you might as well gun for it. Whereas,
but that's the thing.
If I was Spieth, every time I was in my backswing, I would have my inner critic would be lighting me up, right? Oh, bud, better get together because this shot's going to see.
Yeah, he's 22. Shink. He's 22, so he's never really. He's kind of. Everyone thought he would get past and never had that in him where he would choke, but.
He needed Earl Woods to throw some balls at his ankles.
Yeah.
When he was 3.
Well, he was, that was like a
shut
a
out
week
the
ago.
Distractions.
So yeah, he's going to have a tough couple of weeks to try and get his head together for the U.S. Open.
Yeah. But the Masters is the biggest deal, right?
It's such a big deal. It's just because the year starting, and it's just such a beautiful place. I went down there in 2005 and walked it around.
To watch? Did you really?
And it was beautiful. It's just a cool experience. The locals are really nice people.
Who did you walk with?
I was down with Laird White, our boy Lairdo, Tim Palmer, and Al Palmer, Tim's brother, who worked in the pro shop at Augusta at the time.
Wow.
Now he's out in Shaughnessy in Vancouver, Al.
Do you pick a player and walk the round with them? Or do you kind of hang out by 16 for a while?
This is how you do it when you go. If you're going to go to the Masters.
Do you mean, this is how you do it?
Back at doom. I'm back?
You're late.
I'm late again?
Yeah.
Why do I hear it so? I don't know why that doesn't ever
you
works.
Give me a this is how you do it, and I'll show you how it's done.
This is how we do it.
Back, dock, dock-a-doom.
I'm screwing up this is how we do
back,
it.
Back, dock, dock-a-doom. I got you every time, Holmes. How do you do it?
I go, what do you mean? So you sing it, and I'll try and
no, I mean
it.
The walking of Augusta.
Oh, this is how you do it.
I'm like, back,
this
dock-a-doom.
Is how you do it? You go early, like on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and you walk around for the practice rounds and par three contests and all that stuff. Because there's nobody there. Like, you can walk the course and see it. You know, there's people there, but you can get around. It's not stacked.
Like, but you're allowed? Like, you could follow Rory if you wanted
anywhere.
To?
There's pretty much, you can cross and go through anywhere.
Crazy.
End up in the woods.
How do they monitor, like, so you're not walking across the fourth fairway when someone's in their backswing?
That's what the ropes are for.
Ah.
You got to get around those ropes.
And they'll kick you off pretty quick.
Yeah, for sure. And then you just, like, but the Augusta, the actual city is really cool. It's different and old school. Good eats.
What an experience. Did you, like, do people get banged up over the course of the day, or it's very low-key and respectful?
No, I don't think, it's not like the Phoenix Open. It's just normal. You don't see people banged up. And I think if they get banged up, they get escorted out of there pretty quickly.
Is the Phoenix Open for shirts off parties?
Oh, it's insanity.
Is it?
It's like a frat party. Tall boys blasting everywhere. Yeah. Just ripping it up, getting right into things. P11, yes.
Just partying.
Yep.
What a cool experience that must have been.
This could, that's like an Easter egg for that P11 story.
For folks,
If you really dig deep, you might get closer.
As it gets to be the weekend and you're walking Augusta, do you just pick a plate, get there early, pick a place and stay there to watch everybody go through?
You hang out I was done. I left before the actual tournament.
Ah.
Because you don't see anything.
Right.
So I was happy to walk it all and see it all, but I didn't want to get stuffed in on the weekends.
Right.
So maybe go Thursday just to get a feel for the tournament more. But it's better to just go somewhere else, or I don't know, unless you have some VIP area on 16 or something where you're...
VIP 11, yeah.
But there's not really that much... There's no space really put around on that golf course. It's all the way it used to be. It's pretty old school.
Looks like Duthie played Augusta the day after the tournament. That was
crazy. Yeah, they have a press kind of... they fire out the bingo for press, and you get your name in a hat, and they pick you out. And a couple guys, Adam Stanley, I know he got in there. He's a golf writer. So there's and Duthie. Jerry D played there a couple years back. Right?
Did he?
Yeah.
As Jerry D, sports reporter, maybe.
The member tees, which is like 6,300 yards. It's a lot different.
Whoa.
But
why? What do the pros play?
It's like 7,500 yards, so like the par fours can be 465 yards uphill, but the member tees are like 350.
Right.
So it's
so you'd be on the green on your tee shot.
Well, no, if people that pound it have certain things like that, they can hit it further, but it's not everything isn't drivable. It's more just...
Looks like the greens are brutal.
You just have to be smart, to be honest. You have to know where to hit it because the greens are so up and down and undulated. It doesn't really matter how far you are, because once you're on that green, like, three putting is real easy. And they had they had the pins, the Sunday pins, for that turn for the press day. That would be
That would have been challenging.
So once you're on the green, you're putting it, and if you're above the hole, you putt it, and it goes off the green. So
I saw Duthie said that the caddy was so helpful, but he would say, like, actually aim it 15 feet to the left of where you're aiming it now.
Yeah, oh, for sure. There's all kinds
they don't even make sense.
Weird breaks that you don't – and you wouldn't believe how high the mounding is. Like, it's like you're standing on one part of the green, and it goes up 6 feet.
Whoa.
Just 4 to 10 feet away from you, you know, and then
make anyone look like an amateur bot.
Oh, for sure.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll play Canteen.
Crunch, 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 crunch. Thanks a lot, baby. Get out of here. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Crunch, 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 crunch.
Let's play a game, Jonathan.
Canteen.
Canteen.
Sometimes it starts with a name, and the name of this one, it was inspired, obviously. Like, we do Canadian Cannot Ian. Or yes.
I played that with Steve Dillon one night on the
10-10. It's fun. Gagnas or Gagnos. Sometimes it starts with a good name.
Gagnas or Gagnon is a little bit like, there's not a lot you can go. You can only play that so much.
I know, it's 50-50.
I wish the best games
have a play-along factor, so for folks listening, they can try to guess too.
You know what we should try to find is like an in-depth or a long clip, like a full-length film or something of André Philippe Gagnon.
Yeah, APG.
So we can have a better quality to play the game with.
Yeah, because it's hard to find clips. And
because he's known to go through like 20 in a night, right?
Yeah, I think anyway. But some of them, like some of the clips that are on the internet are like, here he is doing Brian Mulroney. So it's not necessarily timely. It was timely at the time. But now kind of gives it away.
It's still, I know, why don't we do him just doing other people too? Why does it have to be music?
Well, Hawking Talking was another kind of game like that. Like when you had Hawking saying, snap it up, flip it, and rub it down. Like, I'm pretty sure that's you as Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, for sure.
So this game is called Canteen, and it's very simple. We're going to give each other a clue of who this Canadian teenager was. In my case, they obviously might not still be teenagers, but they're famous Canadians, and this material is from when they were teenagers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they might be 50 now, but this material is from when they were teenagers.
Some of them are currently teenagers. We're going to center on that, I think.
Okay. Who's going first?
You go first, because you have the clips, and I have the printed material.
Okay. This one, it doesn't require much explanation. Which canteen is this?
I think it's tough to get yourself prepared in a city like Atlanta or LA, and coming to places like Toronto and Edmonton, Montreal. It's just hockey feeling all the time. You walk down the street, kids
who's
playing
world
hockey, and that kind of.
That's when he's a teen.
Who?
Gretzky?
Yes.
That's when he's a teenager?
It's his interview. Yeah, he was 18. It was his interview with Dave Hodge the night he scored 6 points. I don't know if you watched the Farewell to Rexall Place, but there was an interview with Gretzky at the first intermission. He's great.
Yeah.
Like I'd forgotten how charming and engaging he can be. He was talking about his dad wanting to come out to not miss his 50 goals in 50 games or whatever it was. And Wayne told him not to come, and then he ended up scoring it. You know, 6 goals the night before or something.
And your bod pointed out the picture of the imprint on the door for us on our Twitter feed. How about that?
Yeah, he did. Ryan Frankson, which was awesome. There's a bunch of buds that work for the Oilers that listen to the potty. Tom Gazzola, Chris Westcott, Ryan Frankson, they're good buds and buds of the show, and also on the inside as far as oil country goes. It's good to have buds along.
You know.
Sports buds are always solid buds.
You have your, you have the inside scoops.
Not really. Because they're also very professional and, wouldn't share inside
secrets. I didn't mean it in like a bad way.
No, I know.
Yeah.
It is kind of fun to know folks that work with the organization.
So I got Gretz.
You got Gretz. You got that right.
Okay, you got yours. I don't have a clip.
Okay.
But this is tough. Because this guy didn't really do anything other than stuff later in his life.
Okay.
He was born in 65. And he had over 900 episodes of TV shows to his credit. But he was famous for one two-person show in the 80s. It's hard to give any more clues other than that it was 6 seasons and widely syndicated.
Okay, can I ask a couple of questions?
Yeah.
Was the show big in Canada or the U.S.?
I think it was big in Canada, but
like, was it made in the U.S.?
Well, no, it was made in Canada.
Was, and it was a two-person show.
Do you want? I can give you some of the people that are on the show with him.
Okay.
Marnie McPhail.
Okay.
Does that ring a bell?
No.
Sonny Basin Thrasher. Directors, creators Michael Hirsch and Patrick Lubert.
Dang. I mean, okay, I'm going to talk it out.
Mid-80s.
Two-person show. The first one that came to mind was the Edison Twins.
You got it.
No!
Yes!
Whoa!
Crushed it.
Wow!
And the guys, the guy was Andrew Sabiston. Sabiston.
Amazing. I never would have known his name. But I was thinking, like, Wayne and Schuster? No, they were much older than that. I thought for a minute it might be 90210 because I thought you meant Priestley. But that was 90s.
I'm sure he had a tough time walking around Toronto. In
oh, it was one of the Edison twins? No kidding.
Tough one.
They were everything.
He ended up writing all kinds of, like, kids shows that our kids watch now, like Truck Town.
Really?
And My Big, Big Friend.
I love that show.
My daughter watches Little Charmers, I'm sure.
My daughters do, like, too. That one.
Max and Ruby, Little Bear.
Wow, like he's written on everything.
Just crushing it. Arthur.
One of the Edison twins. Look at him go.
Just going. Kay. Babar and Badu.
Here's your next canteen. She's not a teen anymore, but this is from when she was a teen on a TV show. And you have to listen because the audio quality is poor and she doesn't talk much. Ready?
Yeah.
That you and I might hit it off after all.
Oh, really, Alanis? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I blew myself
I just
up.
I'm liking you, but now you'll be.
Alanis.
Yeah.
You love Alanis.
Listen to this.
For these
think
games.
That you and I might hit it off after all. Oh.
Really, Alanis? Are you serious?
Yeah, I had just begun liking you, but now you'll be away on tour most of the year.
She sounds the same.
No, I know.
You love her so much.
Yeah.
I want to see if I could get you all riled up.
Get me riled up?
Yeah.
Well, she kicked me off stage one day.
I know. See, it's working.
So that's I take that stuff. I remember it.
Of course. She didn't need to do that.
No, not just that.
She's no
just...
more transparent dangling carrots, Alanis. Come on.
Too much artistry going on for my scene.
Okay, hit me with my next clue.
Okay.
So you're 2 for 2, in part because I blew myself up. But you would have gotten it.
But I would have. I'm going to start guessing Alanis every time.
And you can't do that on television. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this actor was on a famous show for almost... 10 years at least.
Okay.
He grew up in front of our eyes, I guess you could say.
Okay.
He had some problems with alcoholism. Did grow up with alcoholic parents. Fell into some type 1 diabetes.
Jesus.
They're aggravated by the drinking. And he died of a heart attack in a tenement in Hamilton.
Oh, my God.
In Ontario.
Oh, my God. I didn't know we
were
doing...
Who's your canteen? That's the canteen.
I didn't know we were doing the downer edition of canteen.
Well, you know, it's just... Sorry.
That's got to be Wheels. That's Neil Hope.
Perfect. You got it. I didn't want me to ask the question again.
I learned two things, though. I didn't know that he was a diabetic, and I didn't know that alcohol exacerbates... diabetes.
Yeah.
I guess there's so much sugar in alcohol.
Keep up with the insulin injections.
Aw. Man, what a great tragedy that was. You don't like to hear about people going out that way.
No, you don't.
Who's this canteen? This is their first ever interview with Entertainment Tonight in 1983.
I had no idea really what I was doing until about maybe a year ago.
Man, that Who's sounds that? Like... That was fast. Can I hear it again?
Yes, but I'm afraid to play it again because I don't want...
Because you're going to get blown up again?
Okay, it's the same clip, so listen carefully.
Yeah. I had no idea really what I was doing until about maybe a year ago when
people started
telling me that that's what was special about me, that my face is real weird.
Who's that?
Is that Burton Cummings?
No, Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's a stretch. I would never For some reason, I thought it was a young Burton Cummings.
People started telling me what was special about me was the things I can do with my face. His first interview with E.T. in 1983.
I was like, I don't ever remember Burton sounding so humble. Imagine.
I know.
Oh, my face was kind of funny. Look, he was always the opposite. Oh, I'm walking down the street seeing people with mustaches and my hair.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
No.
Basically, yeah. So I changed it up. I totally went the other way. Can't copy me.
Oh, man. Okay, I stymied you. Here's my chance to tie it up. Who's your next canteen?
I'm worried that this one might be too difficult to get.
Okay, it's good. We're getting harder.
Yeah. She began her acting career when she was 3. She was born in 1971.
Okay.
In Victoria, B.C.
Megan Follows.
No.
I had to go swing for the fences, bud. How crazy would that have been?
That would have been... Well, it would have been... too obvious, in my opinion.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Especially if I said it was difficult.
More obscure, okay.
She's well known as a TV series regular cast member in a show that was in the mid-80s, from 1985 to 90, I would say.
Okay.
Based on the West Coast.
Okay.
And they flew a plane.
Okay.
So you know the show, right?
Yeah, Danger Bay, Ocean Hellman.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He crushed it.
Bam!
Boom! Ocean Hellman.
The plane gave it away.
Born Crystal Ocean Supri Heavenly Blue Sky Hellman.
Is that true?
November 8th. I'm not kidding.
Read her name again.
Crystal Ocean Supri Heavenly Blue Sky Hellman.
To people who were baked out of their minds.
Yeah. Yeah, we grew up in the middle of the forest because my dad's intake was far too much for the city.
We grew up in a hollowed out tree surrounded by cast members of the animated show The Raccoons.
Yeah.
Because we were baked.
I remember eating oatmeal and smelling bong hits.
This canteen, this clip comes not long after she was discovered, but it goes by fast, and it's 1992 when this person had one line on a soap opera before her breakout role on a huge series. See if you can get it. It's a Hail Mary. Ready?
Yeah.
The voice is pretty recognizable, though.
Okay. I don't know why, but unfortunately, that's exactly what happened.
Oh, okay. So is that like Neve Campbell?
Close. It's a great guess. Unfortunately, it's wrong.
Is it Ellen Page?
No. This person was discovered at a BC Lions game.
Oh, I remember that story. That's the Pam Anderson.
Yeah, listen.
I don't know why, but unfortunately, that's exactly what happened.
A guest shot on Days of Our Lives in 1992.
That was her first...
when she was a canteen. TV. Yeah, but it was the year that she blew up on Baywatch.
Yeah.
This is fun, canteen. I like it.
Okay, this guy is an American, but this show was a big show in Canada, a CTV production.
He was American, but it was big on CTV.
American.
Yeah, okay.
But it was on that show that everybody knew him in Canada.
Callum Keith Rennie. Played.
What?
Callum Keith Rennie on Due South.
The father was Derek McGrath, another Canadianity classic. His brother was in Going Down the Road, right?
Yep.
That's, does that ring a bell?
No.
Actually, I don't think that he was the father. That might help you. Was he? I don't think he is he? But he was a scientist.
The kid?
The father guy. That Derek McGrath character.
On the show.
He was a scientist.
Scientist. Can I ask three questions?
Dr. Benjamin Jeff Coat.
See, I would have made him a Greek character whose name was like Labby. So he would have been Dr. Lab Coat.
Yeah, he's basically a Dr. Ladd coat buddy.
Can I ask three questions?
Yes.
Kid show or adult show?
Teen show.
And
children and young people.
Big in which decade?
Late 80s.
Is this actor still working?
Yes. Big star in the States. Well, slight. Ran from 88 to 91.
Man. Dad was a scientist.
It's not his dad, it's his bud down the street.
Oh, his bud was a scientist. It's not Big Wolf on campus.
But the guy's old. Like his older bod down the street who's a scientist.
I don't know.
He's hit with a photon beam, causing him to develop superpowers.
I don't know. I'm stumped.
He carries around aerosol spray containers and uses them to move through the air.
It sounds awesome, yeah, but I have no recollection of it whatsoever.
My secret identity.
Oh, wow.
Remember him flying around with the cans?
No, I remember the name of the show and that it existed, but I've never seen it before. Good one. What was the kid's name?
Cruising around Toronto in fucking spray cans, like looking around.
What was the kid's name?
The kid?
Yeah.
Andrew.
What was the actor's name?
Oh, sorry. Jerry O'Connell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Totally forgot that part.
He has a brother, Charlie, right? And one of them, I think it's Jerry, who's married to Rebecca Romaine Stamos.
Yeah.
And was Jerry the one who was the portly kid in Stand By Me?
I think he was, yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't he portly on My Secret Identity?
Was he in Stand By Me? Yeah, he was. He was the
one of the O'Connells. Yeah. Was.
Yeah, he was. That's him.
Are you looking it up?
Sometimes I get him confused with the fat kid from the Goonies, but he's not.
That's fair. Stand By Me, O'Connell.
Yeah, that's him.
Is it Jerry?
Yeah,
Jerry O'Connell. Jerry. Yeah.
And he was also in a Frosted Flakes commercial that was famous.
Wow. Who's Charlie O'Connell?
Who is Charlie O'Connell?
Was his brother, but he was a thing too, wasn't he?
That's his younger brother, who is Dude, Where's My Car? The New Guy.
Right.
He's kind of a Frank Stallone styles.
I feel Sliders. Badly about Sean William Scott.
He was on The Bachelor.
Charlie O'Connell was?
Yeah.
Like, as the guy looking for a thing?
I don't know. I don't watch that show, so maybe.
Wow.
He's a reality television personality.
Wow, you're missing out, bud.
Did you see it?
I didn't see that rendition of The Bachelor.
Do you want me to look it up?
No, it's okay. Sean William Scott was robbed of the career that he deserved. Stifler, because he was in Dude, Where's My Car, right? Stifler. He's a funny dude, and he didn't ever really get his due. He didn't ever get his due.
He never did. What's up with that?
I don't know.
Because he's pretty good, right? He's a good actor, isn't he? Like when he does other stuff?
Yeah, I guess.
Like for that kind of, like, I could see him, like, because he's done a lot of those kids movies. I could see him being the dad in a billion kids movies.
Yep. I could see that too.
He was in Role Models, Cop Out in 2010. Mm-hmm. And he's in the Ice Age franchise. That's a nice
check. That's good. Yeah, that'd be good dough. Okay. I have three clips left, but I won't play them all. Maybe I'll play two of them. This one is, well, here's a canteen. Who's this? You ready?
Yeah.
I think, the whole tournament was a bit of a highlight for me. I'm happy with the way I played, and I feel like... I improve throughout the weeks, but I'm always disappointed when I lose, for sure.
That should give it away.
Eugenie Bouchard.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Eugenie Bouchard,
what happened to you?
All right, here comes this canteen. I won't give you any clues. I think he's still working today. You ready?
Yeah.
And this is from 1990. Listen closely.
I'm sorry, I just assumed you were fine.
Who's that?
Jay Baruchel.
Close.
That's it. That's all I got.
It's me on Street Sense, bud.
Oh, it's you, you son of a gun. 1990, listen. You're the OG.
Listen to my voice. It's so high and effective.
Let me hear it again.
I'm sorry. I just assumed you were fine.
That's some good acting right there, bud.
Sounds nothing like you.
I know.
That's hilarious. That's like when you hear Dan O'Toole when he does that CKJED.
It's so great. He's so tentative and uncertain.
It sounds nothing like his voice. It's hilarious.
It's kind of great, though.
After a while, you hear it if you go for a bit.
Like, oh, wait a minute. That's Toolsy. Let's take a break on TNT 67. More to come. Stay with us.
Don't go anywhere, for frick's sakes.
Hey, Jonathan.
It's been a while since we've done a contest, and when we did Two-Faced, it was so exciting and fun.
It was.
So my basement has a few boxes of TNT merch in it, left over from our tour. Let's give some away.
For sure. And I still remember Steve Knowlton Nash.
So I know. I still remember Katie Lang. There were some great ones. Celine Dionfanov, of course. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put it out to our listeners to come up with the best Canadian cover band name. But because the name is too easy, it has to be a name and some type of Photoshoppery. Make a poster for your cover band, and we'll consider venue, city, name, overall picture.
Yeah.
And the three best will get some TNT swag.
And just to throw a spin on this, you can send, like, because if sometimes you'll see something real that's better than that you couldn't make up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So we should maybe allow real cover bands.
Okay, because
there could be some classic pictures or people that are just doing it, like Mandonna.
Right, or like we were just saying, Coverboy is about the best Canadian cover band name you can come up with. So Coverboy ilk, but you have to use the hashtag TNT cover band. You won't be included unless you use the hashtag TNT cover band so we can find them. We'll judge them and we'll announce next week which three folks are going to get some TNT swag in the mail.
Love it.
Fun.
Fantastic.
Good chatting, bot. That's 67 in the can.
Love it. I'll talk to you soon, bot.
Take care, bot. Boom, gong, gang, go, ki, ding, gong.